This story starts in Germany in the 1920s. Europe was recovering from the devastation of the First World War, but the threat of a Second World War was looming with Hitler's rise to power.
In Munich, an artist called Johannes Matthias Kolz started work on a painting called Thou Shalt Not Kill, which was an explicit anti-war statement.
My father served in the First World War, and his experiences in the trenches were to influence him for the rest of his life. He was very bitter about what he saw. His own younger brother fell in 1914. And I believe from that point on, pacifism was ingrained in him.
The painting was in oils on three wooden panels, so is known as a triptych. The effect of the Great War on Johannes must have been enormous. As this photograph of the finished work shows, it measured a staggering 24 feet long by 8 feet tall. And as he made no attempt to hide the painting, it was only a matter of time before the Nazis got to know of it.
In August 1937, my father had to go to the Munich police station on a routine visit to renew a visa to his passport. When he got there, a man behind a desk said, "Your passport has been confiscated, and you are being arrested for pacifist propaganda."
Johannes faced imprisonment and almost certain death, but an incredible twist of fate was to save his life.
The arresting officer was someone with whom my father had fought in the First World War, and he'd recognized my father. And that comradeship was actually stronger than his allegiance to Hitler. So he had said, "I'm going to put this warrant in a drawer for 48 hours, giving my father the chance to get out.
Typical of a country practice, Hilfiker's patients were all known to him. A local couple came to see him, wanting to confirm whether the wife was pregnant. Dr. Hilfiker examined the woman and sent off a urine test. But the test came back negative. He repeated the test 2 weeks later, but again, the tests concluded Barbara wasn't pregnant. Though with everyone now believing the fetus to be dead, Barbara came in for the fairly routine procedure. Dr. Hilfiker started the D&C procedure, which entails scraping tissue from the uterus.
At the beginning, there just wasn't anything that came out. This was starting not to be normal. And so at one point, an arm, small arm came out, and I knew that wasn't right. The only thing I could think of then was that the baby had just died, but that didn't make sense either because the test had been negative all the way along. So I was beginning to be terrified.
Before the operation, Dr. Hilfiker concluded the fetus had died at around 6 weeks old. But yet the arm he had taken out was much bigger and could only belong to an older fetus. But how old? And was it already dead? Or had he just killed it? He stopped the procedure and sent off the tiny arm to pathology for analysis.
When Barb woke up, I went back and talked to them again. And at that point, at least hinted at what I was beginning to suspect, which was that the baby had been alive and that I had done an abortion on a very desired fetus.
David Hilfiker's worst fears were realized when the pathology report came back.
Saying that, yes, this had been a body part of an 11-week-old fetus, recently alive.